Do take a seat. And our reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 7. So I'm going to read from verse 1 through to verse 12, actually, if you're able to follow along. It's on the screen as well. "Do not judge," said Jesus, "or you too will be judged. For the same way you judge others, you'll be judged, and with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." Well, let's just pray for a moment. And Lord Jesus, we have read these words from the Bible, probably read them many times before. And we pray for your Spirit this morning to teach us and to speak to us. For these things we do ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as we open chapter 7 of Matthew there, it speaks, doesn't it, about judging others. And I suspect if you're like me anyway, maybe you're not, you read those opening words there and thought, well, at least this doesn't apply to me. I'm not the sort of person who would go around judging others, unlike certain people I could name. Here we have in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 12, two statements about Jesus, from Jesus, about the sort of lifestyle a follower of Jesus is expected to live. One of the statements is a negative. It's a do not. The other is a positive. It's a do. Do not judge. Do ask. Two statements from Jesus about the sort of lifestyle a follower of Jesus could be expected to live. When you stop and think about it, they are incredible statements that, if taken seriously, can really help us be the sort of people who encounter Jesus and see our lives transformed as a result. You see, two of the biggest barriers to really encountering Jesus are mentioned here. We can't truly encounter Jesus if we cannot see Jesus because our attention and our focus is elsewhere. We also can't truly be transformed by Jesus if we feel we cannot ask Jesus for the help that we'll need in this life and beyond. So we have two statements. Do not judge. Do ask. Two statements that have a lot to do with seeing and seeking this morning. What are you seeing? Who are you seeking? And are you and I really seeing and seeking to encounter Jesus and be transformed as a result? Let's first of all think about the first part of this statement. Jesus said, verse 1, chapter 7, do not judge. Now, as regular people here will know, I rather like watching things like Britain's Got Talent. There are a whole range of TV shows to pick from, and I will not judge you if you don't like Britain's Got Talent, but you prefer perhaps something like The Voice, or Strictly, or X Factor, or, I don't know, maybe I don't know much about Love Island, but maybe that's the same sort of idea. No, it's not, is it? No, I shouldn't have said that in church. I know nothing about Love Island. I'd never even heard the phrase before. Now, I won't share what happened yesterday. I'll save that up for a more important occasion. Right, the idea is that we spend, anyway, in front of these programs, a productive Saturday evening doing what? Well, fundamentally, judging others, aren't we? We're going, well, I think they're good enough to get through, or they're not. We might just keep it verbally between ourselves, and it becomes a sort of discussion among the family, or we might, blow the family budget and phone in and leave a vote or something like that. Well, don't panic this morning. I'm not about to show a clip from Britain's Got Talent. This clip is actually from America's Got Talent. In this clip, we're going to be meeting one of the acts auditioning for a place in the finals. We all know how it works, doesn't it? You get a whole series of different acts. They're brought before the audience and the cameras, and eventually it's decided who will go on to the finals and who will go on to win. So in this case, it's not so much a who, it's a what. Let's bring on the chicken. There we go. Okay, that is quite enough of that, I'm sure. It only lasted 2 minutes. It did feel considerably longer. I'm sure you've never seen anything quite like that before. Yeah, unless you've been here on other Sundays, of course. When Jesus said, do not judge, is Jesus saying that as a follower of Jesus, we're just to let anything go? Even a hen playing a keyboard. Is it okay this morning to say anything is okay? Well, that certainly would be the feeling in our culture, isn't it? Our culture in this country is one that says, well, you really shouldn't judge. Our culture says to us, well, if it's not harming anyone else, just let it go. If it's okay for them, it's probably okay. We dress this up a bit. We might use other words like tolerance. Anything goes. Or if it's all right for you and it's not harming anybody else, then it's right for you. What we're fundamentally saying in society is, don't judge anyone. Don't judge the actions of somebody else. This is the big story, if you like, in our society. We're a tolerant country. We don't go around judging others. In which case, Jesus' words seem to fit in with this. Do not judge. We're trying to be tolerant and not judgmental. The thing, of course, the difficulty, of course, in our society is that our society is highly intolerant of anyone who doesn't take the common line. Just let it go. There are no real boundaries. Is that what Jesus is saying here? Well, it's clear elsewhere in the Bible, even in the verses just before Matthew chapter 7, that that isn't what Jesus is saying at all. Jesus does set boundaries for his followers. A follower of Jesus has limits set in their behavior, set by God. God is our creator, and he's designed us knowing what's best for us. And if we're just like any creator, there's a kind of way of running at your best. So Jesus has quite a lot to say about moral issues. Interestingly enough, Jesus says far more about moral issues on certain things than we do. We sort of wrap them round the wrong way. But Jesus, according to the Bible, has an awful lot to say about how we treat the poor and vulnerable in our society. Jesus has a lot to say, too, about our spending habits. We read out one just before our offering this morning. Elsewhere, Jesus affirms some Old Testament boundaries. So he says things like, do not murder, do not commit adultery. They're still there. But at the same time as affirming some of the Old Testament boundaries, he takes them that just a bit further. You've heard it said, he says to his disciples, but I tell you. So in other words, when Jesus is saying do not judge, he's not saying anything goes, folks. That's quite clearly not his message. There are boundaries for the Jesus follower. For the Jesus follower, anything does not go. What I think then is best for me may very well not turn out to be the best for me. When we encounter Jesus, we see our lives transformed. But the whole time Jesus is saying, when you encounter me, your life will be transformed, he's saying it's going to be transformed for the better. Okay? Understand this, Jesus follower, would be Jesus follower. What you think is best may not be best. I'm your creator, says God. I know how this thing works. I know what's best for it. The problem, of course, with saying that Jesus has moral boundaries is that it's very easy to quickly misuse them. It's interesting that when Jesus encounters people in the Bible, and therefore models for us how we're to encounter people, Jesus meets them where they are. And then Jesus proceeds to take them on a journey towards potentially where they could be. Not judging others is about learning surely to see one another as Jesus sees us. And there can be a problem with how we see others. We tend to judge people according to how they present themselves to us. But what might happen if we learn to see people the way Jesus learns to see people? You might argue that we need our vision corrected a bit. I don't wear glasses normally, and I always thought I had good eyesight until a few years ago when it was suggested that really I ought to go to the opticians. Because I'd commented to people like Anne when I was driving that it seemed strange that car license plates were all being made blurred nowadays. That seemed a bit odd to me. It wasn't the case, of course, that they were being blurred. When I sat in the opticians, I was pretty sure I'd wasted the appointment. I didn't waste the money. I had a free voucher for a free test. But I was wasting my time all the same, I thought. However, when the expert did the test with me, he confirmed that my eyesight wasn't that great. Not as great as I thought, anyway. I don't need them to read. I don't need them to look at you, except in the back row because you're all blurred. But I do need them to drive safely. My vision needed corrected. If I'd been left to my own devices, I probably wouldn't notice. It only got a little blurred over time, probably this process of me getting a bit older. And I hadn't particularly noticed. I needed help from somebody else to get it corrected. When you're seeing, what do you see when you see people? Where we see a sinner, inverted commas, whose moral behavior perhaps isn't great, Jesus sees a human being created by God for greatness. I think in church, we often are guilty of getting this upside down. And I don't know where this idea comes from, because it sure don't come from the Bible. We get the idea that to come to church, you've got to be morally good and upright. We get the idea that to come to church, you somehow mysteriously to have encountered Jesus and have your life totally transformed and sorted out before you can come into Jesus' place. That is the most bizarre way of thinking about things. If we are really being church, If we're really wanting others to encounter Jesus as well as ourselves, then we have to say that anyone and everyone is welcome here. Do not judge. Anyone can come in. If we take seriously Jesus' message, then a door is open to all people, regardless of their racial background, religious background, or their behavior. At the start of a Sunday morning, this place ought to be filled with all sorts of different kinds of people, some of whom may very well live very different lives to how we do. Some churches have got that, and they say they welcome all people, and that's great. But let's not finish there. While we should always welcome all people, getting to encounter Jesus is also about being transformed by Jesus. So while everyone's welcome at the start of a Sunday morning, as a result, by the end, you ought to at least be beginning to start that process of transformation. We might want to think about what that means. Because to be honest, church is too safe a lot of the time, isn't it? Perhaps there are people we can think of this morning who we know of, and we think, well, do you know, them getting to know Jesus, that's just not going to happen, Keith. You know, we've had a little conversation and it didn't go well, and they were pretty firm that Jesus was, you know, childhood story, fairy tale stuff. Oh, you know, you just don't know the person I know. You don't know my neighbor. They are really not going to happen. That's not going to come. Oh, you don't know my particular family member. They've gone off so far off the rails. I'd be embarrassed if they came here, never mind anything else. Think about your colleagues at work, your neighbors, the person in your family or your friends. We've all got people who think, well, they are just too scary to think about coming to church. There's no way they'd ever get this Christian stuff. Jesus says that's not good eyesight. That's like having a big plank in your eye, saying you're passing judgment on them, you're saying they are not ever going to come to God's kingdom. We think there's no way they'd ever become a Christian. Jesus wants our eyesight to improve. He wants us to start seeing people the way Jesus sees people. Which then links really closely onto the next bit. Don't be afraid to ask, says Jesus. When you start to see people the way Jesus sees people, you're going to see that there's a whole bunch of issues that comes up for us. It's scary. We're going to need help. Well, Jesus says, don't be afraid to ask for help. Here's what Jesus says. I'll pick it up just to make sure we've got the right words. Ask, he says, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone asks, receive. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. In many respects, this is a real challenge to our encountering God. When we encounter God, when we do things like pray or read our Bibles or come together as church, what are we hoping will happen? Are we hoping that we'll just do this, tick off the box, and then not need to feel guilty or bother about God for the rest of the day? Or are we really hoping that change will happen? I heard this from a speaker I'd not heard before. I thank Vic and Jeanette for passing me the link to a speaker called Chris Hodges. Very interesting speaker. I asked them to pass the link to you too. And the little quote I picked up from his much longer talk left me thinking about prayer. And this is the quote, and I hope I've got it right. I wouldn't want to do a disservice on this. He said, if God was to answer all of your prayers, would it change the world? Or would it just change your world? I wonder sometimes when we pray if our prayers are a little bit restricted. There is, of course, nothing wrong, and it is to be encouraged to ask God to meet our needs. If we're feeling ill, ask God to get us better. If our families are struggling, ask God to help our families. That's really important. But let's also broaden it out. Let's pray the sort of prayers that will lead to the world being transformed for many, many people. Let's pray the sort of prayers that say, well, God, you've put this church in the heart of our community. Therefore, I think you've given us responsibility for this community. When we pray, are we praying that people who live around here will come to faith in Jesus? And not just the general prayer of God, you know, be nice to these people, love them. No, God, actually, I want to see this community transformed. And Lord God, if there's a role for me here, give me the courage to use those gifts that you put in me. Give me the courage to go out to people and say, you know, I could actually go out and knock some doors with you for this barbecue in a couple of weeks. I'm not done it. I'm scared, but I think God's going to help me. I'm going to ask. And when it comes to knocking that door with somebody else, I believe it's going to be open and God's going to give me the right words to say. I'm going to pray that this community is going to change. Is this the kind of thing that we're up for? Or are we just, prayers are not really like that? I don't know. Let's not just pray little prayers. Remember to include those impossible or apparently impossible world-changing prayers too. Pray for big things to happen. Pray for wars to end, for poverty to be reduced. Pray for scary people who seem impossible to come to faith in Jesus, because you know what? When we ask, we can receive. When we knock the door, our Heavenly Father's on the other side just waiting to open it. You may pray once and find that the door really opens quite easily. That's such an amazing encouragement to faith. You may pray for a few weeks and then the door opens, and that's a huge encouragement too. Or you may find yourself praying for months, perhaps even a year. But every time we ask God for things that are in accordance with His will, He hears and stuff will happen. If it's in agreement with the Bible, if it's consistent with our faith, then keep praying that prayer and see what God may do. In Jesus' eyes, everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And so I thought perhaps as a way of finishing this morning, rather than me leading a prayer from the front, we can maybe just get into little groups perhaps this morning and pray for one or two things. Here's what I'd suggest, and you can pray for other things too, because there's going to be other things. Let's pray for those kind of things. What are we seeing and who are we seeking? Now, we have a community barbecue, a barbecue for the community in a little while, the 11th of August. Maybe you want to pray for that. For our neighbors to come along for good conversations here. Do you want to pray for that? Do you want to pray for some of the people you engage with regularly who seem very, very far away from Jesus? Maybe that's something you could pray for. Maybe you can remember one of our church people, members, Carolyn, who's out just now in Taiwan at this precise point, and then going on to Hong Kong to serve with Operation Mobilization for 2 weeks, serving there and seeking to help people come to faith. Maybe there's other things specific to you that really seem very difficult to pray for just now, but you want just a bit of help from others to pray for them. So would you mind doing that? Just bunching into, I don't know, fours, fives, sixes, doesn't matter number-wise, just and we'll pray together for a little bit, and then we'll come back and sing some worship to God. Are you up for that? If you don't feel comfortable with it, just sit on your own. That's okay. I'm not going to force anyone to do anything. And we can just spend some time praying together as church. And then I'll round it off in just a couple of minutes. Okay?